Those who are watching online, we are so blessed to have you with us at the Hope Happy Hour. And we are grateful that you are tuning in, wherever you are, in your car, on your job, even in your house, wherever you are, we know that God is right there with you. If you would turn with me to the Exodus, the 14th chapter, looking at verses 10 through 18. The Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, just in case, 14. Starting at verse 10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on the ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And then if you don't mind, I want to use as a subtext, I'm in control. Never going to stop. Control to get what I want. Control, I like to have a lot. Control. Now I'm all grown up. Amen. I want to preach this morning. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that right there. Y'all trying to figure out the lyrics. Like, man, who is this poet that he's reciting? That ain't nothing to Janet Jackson. Control lyrics. Amen. Some of y'all just got it. Oh, that's who that was. Amen. Control. I want to preach this morning. I want to continue in this sermon series, the 10 times rule. I want to preach on the sermon talk this morning. It's in your control. It's in your control. Look at somebody, tell them, you got control of this. You got control of this. Amen. Happy birthday, Niles. Happy birthday. 6 years old, man. Congratulations, man. Y'all shout out my man, Niles. Minnie Shotter, the infamous cameraman. Amen. We're going to thank God. Y'all remember Mr. G back in the day? He missed a G at 6 years old. Amen. Amen. That's my man. This morning, I want to stay in the book that I had been in on last Sunday by Grant Cardone. If you get a chance, Grant Cardone, C-A-R-D-O-N-E. Name of the book is The 10 Times Rule. It is not so that you don't get mad at me and say, well, Ray, this ain't no Christian book. Amen. It's a book. It's a philosophy, and really the premise of the book is that you must set targets that are 10 times what you think you want. And then you have to then do 10 times what you think it will take to accomplish those targets. And in other words, you never want everybody else doing what you're doing. But in order to reach a level of success, you must be willing to do what others just won't do. And you must be willing to take risk. You must be willing to take steps of faith that everybody else ain't gonna take. It takes on this 10-time rule. It takes on the mentality that nothing happens to us. It happens because of us. Everything that we can and will be is within our control. And primarily depends on how we play the hand that God has given each one of us. I remember when I was younger, I ain't gonna lie, it was a game I used to play. I was a monster, I was a beast at this game. Y'all may know the name of the game, it's called Uno. I was a dog at Uno. And I remember this one time I had this amazing hand. I'm talking about this hand was all other. I had draw twos and I had skips and I had wild draw fours. I'm talking to somebody, y'all. And I remember having this hand. I was looking at my hand and I realized that this was a winning hand. There was no way I would lose with this kind of hand. But I remember midway through the hand, I was at about 5 cards and I'm laying jokers down. I mean, they ticking up. Then jokers would throw a draw two on me and then I put a draw two on top of it. And I look at the next person and say, draw four. You know what I mean? Like, I was just ignorant with it because I had this mean hand. I remember midway through it on my mama called me. She said, Danny, I need you to do something. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm in the middle of this hand. I'm killing it. My best friend was sitting over. He was watching TV. My man, Darrell. I said, hey, Nook. That was nickname. You know, your best friend's always got a nickname. Nook. I said, Nook, I need you to clay this hand real quick. Then I got to run upstairs. I got to see what my mother want. Go. I said, man, you got the hand. It's laid out. Handle it. Ran upstairs. Went and handled that situation. Mama ran back downstairs. Man, it looked like this joker's playing Uno in reverse. I said, Slim, I left you with 5 cards. How you got 12? And he looked at me, because I was upset. I was mad. I said, I don't believe you're doing it like this. He said, man, he said, look. He said, this was your hand of clay, not mine. And as I reflected over that story, I realized how true that is for us in life. We can't expect others to clay the hand that God has given us. We are in total control over whether we win or lose with what we already have. It's not up to someone else to make us a success. It's not up to somebody else to help to benefit us. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't look of how you can be a blessing to somebody else. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is we shouldn't require others to be the reason we succeed or fail. It's our job to accept what we have in front of us. And it's our duty to control our shine. Success doesn't just happen by accident, but it is a series of conscious decisions, choices, actions that help us to attain goals and meet objectives and reach preferred destinations. Success requires us to man the ship, to pilot our plane. And the only question we need to be asking ourselves in regards to being successful is, what are we doing now? What are we doing besides talking a good game? What are we doing past just sharing our dreams? What are we doing outside of just writing the vision and making it claim? You see, I wanted my best friend to take responsibility for something that I ultimately had control over. I didn't have to give him my hand. I could have easily said, y'all hold the game, I'll be right back, took my hand with me, came back and clayed my hand. I wanted him to explain why he failed with my hand. Success does not come to those who take the position of victim, but needlessly willing to control what we can control. Take full responsibility for where we are and where we want to end up. Taking control is where we decide whether we will be the problem or the solution, whether we'll be the question or the answer, whether we'll be the fix or the dilemma. You choose, because it's in your control. And that's what we see in this text. Moses had found himself between an Egyptian army that wants to kill him in the Red Sea, that wants to drown him. He is in between a rock and a hard place. So we find that Moses will either be the GOAT, the greatest of all time, for getting them out of this, or he will be the scapegoat for getting the Israelites into this. Now, the leading Moses shows us that no matter what we are faced with, no matter what obstacles or challenges are in front of us, no matter how many enemies are against us, as long as we've got God on our side, we control the conclusion. Look at somebody, tell them, I got control of this. That's what I need somebody to understand this morning. I got control of this. The first question, the first point that you must ask yourself if you want to be successful, if you want to live a life of control, you have to ask yourself and deal with the question of, what are you waiting for? Ask somebody, what are you waiting for? Real talk. What are you waiting for? And Moses, in verse 14, Moses was giving the Israelites a TED talk after they were complaining about him bringing them out of Egyptian slavery into this situation. They actually say to Moses, they tell Moses, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians, stay in slavery, than to die in the desert. He's trying to hype them up, get them excited, rah, 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 these jokers, right? And then God responds to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Move! In other words, God is basically asking Moses, why are you still here? And what exactly are you waiting for? Why haven't you crossed the Red Sea? Why are you spending your energy on things that have nothing to do with your success? Why are you wasting time with all this lip service? You're talking too much. What are you waiting for? Just like the Israelites, many of us have been in a place of doing absolutely nothing. Wanting to retreat back to old stuff. And it's why we find ourselves sailing in particular areas of our lives. Instead of doing something about where we are, we do nothing, and then we pretend like everything is okay. Everything's not okay. We rationalize it and make it seem like where we are is where we want to be. But the truth is we would rather succeed at doing nothing instead of fail at attempting to do something. It is the inaction that at least keeps us from feeling like we fail. At least if I don't do nothing, I ain't failed. Now, you have failed. Because the challenge with doing nothing is that it actually takes just as much effort and energy as doing something. It takes effort to be average. It takes effort to be mediocre. It takes effort to live beneath what God has for you. Tell somebody, it takes effort to stay where you are. The 10 times rule book, Arthur Cordon says, doing nothing is exactly what it sounds like. No longer taking action to move yourself forward in order to learn, achieve, or control some area. Doing nothing about your finances will keep you poor. Doing nothing about your health will keep you sick. Doing nothing about your job situation will keep you underemployed. Doing nothing about your family drama will keep your family broken. Doing nothing about your broken relationship will keep it falling apart. Actually, doing nothing is the very thing that will keep you from the ability to see something different than what you are currently experiencing. At some point, we got to ask ourselves, what am I waiting for? Why haven't I upgraded my situation? Why haven't I improved my condition? Why haven't I elevated out of this circumstance? Doing nothing will get us what it has always gotten us. Nothing. And having to settle for nothing is far worse than attempting and failing to try to attempt at doing something. That's what God was saying to Moses, and that's what God is saying to us. What are you waiting for? How many more times God got to tell you what to do? There's a life we should be experiencing, feeling, a life we should be seeing that is totally opposite of what we are feeling, experiencing, and seeing right now. The Bible says it this way, Philippians 3:12, not that I've already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold
that the which Christ took hold of me. And what exactly was it that Christ took hold of for us? He said it in John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. In other words, our life should be full of abundance. Our life should be full of growth. Our life should be full of victories and wins and successes and promises that are manifested. Our life should be full of hope. Waiting for what God has already told you to do. Stop waiting on chasing a vision God has already shown you. Stop waiting on promises that you know God has already given for you. God is asking you, what are you crying out to me for? Move. Take control. This is yours to obtain. It is in your hand. And all you got to do is do what God has been telling you to do. And if you trust God enough, God will show up every time. Oh. Look at somebody telling, I got to take control of this. This is mine to handle. This is mine to deal with. This is mine to confront. This is mine to hold up. This is mine. That's the second thing. The second thing is not only what are you waiting for. The second thing is you got to tell yourself. You got to remind yourself. You got to speak it to yourself. You got to share it to yourself. You got to show it to yourself. It's already in your hands. Tell somebody, you already got it. Matter of fact, just look at your hands. Tell them it's already there. Now look at your own hands and tell yourself, it's already there. I know you don't see nothing, but it's already there. I know it ain't making sense right now, but it's already there. I know you're looking for somebody else to get you out of what you're in, but I just came down to tell you that everything you need, it's already in your hands. In the book, The 10 Times Rule, Carter says that success is not something that happens to you, it's something that happens because of you. Because of the actions that you take. In other words, success isn't about what's happening outside of you. Success is the ability to control and manage and work with what God has already put in your hands. Okay, y'all don't believe me. Let me take you to scripture. It's right here. Verse 16, God told Moses, raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea to thy water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. The Egyptian army that was in Moses' back was out of his control, and the sea that was in front of him was also out of his control. That all he could control what was in his hands. In that moment, what God had put in his hands was enough. And what he soon realized is that his outward circumstances could no longer overcome what he had control over, the rod that was in his hand. He didn't realize what he had in his hands. God, Jesus. Somebody this morning needs to know that although you feel like your enemy is approaching you and there's a sea of obstacles in front of you, everything that you need within your control is already in. When God calls us to a task, the truth is that God has already put in us what we need to accomplish that task. The gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has given us work at a level beyond what we could ever do without God. I need you to understand that success is literally in your hands. Somebody just look at your hands, tell them it's already there. It's already there. It's not in the bank's hands. It's not in your boss's hands. And if we've learned anything this last month, it's definitely not in the government's hands. It's in your hands. It's already available to you, but it's up to you to recognize that it's in your control. You control the outcome. You control the result. You control the conclusion. Don't let anyone make you believe. Don't let anybody make you believe that you need them in order to do something God told you to do. As long as we keep looking for our success outside of what we already have within our hands, we have already set ourselves up for failure. Because when we don't see what we think we need outside of us,
it will lessen our ability to believe we already have everything we need within us. In Moses' hand, the staff is just a staff. But watch this, that at God's command, and when Moses was obedient and faithful to what God had already placed in his hands, the staff became whatever was needed to fulfill the assignment God had given to Moses. I got to help y'all here. At the bush, the staff turned into a snake. At the Red Sea, the staff made a seaway into a highway. At the battle of Rephidim, the staff gave them the victory over the enemy as long as he held the staff up. When the Israelites were thirsty, water came out of the rock. When Moses hit the rock two times with the staff. In other words, wherever there was lack, Moses never had to look outside of what was already in his hands. He just had to trust and believe that everything he needed was already there. He is now known as one of the greatest leaders in the Bible, not because of his education, not because of his abundant resources, but basically because he recognized that his success was already in his hands. When we connect our faith to what God has already placed in our hands, it becomes exactly whatever we need it to be in whatever situation we find ourselves in. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Tell somebody next to you, everything you need, you already got. It's already. Matter of fact, shake somebody's hand and tell them, I feel it. Good God. I feel it in your hands. I know you may not sense it. Squeeze their hand and tell them, I feel it in your hand. But if you would just trust God enough, if you would just believe God enough, if you would just hold on to God enough, everything you need, good God Almighty, is in your hands. Waiting for somebody else to do what God has already given you the provision and already given you the ability and already given you the gifts to do. You just got to release what God has already put in your hands. I'm going to share this story. I'm going to get y'all out of here. I was at the grocery store. I'm the giant. I'm watching this mother and her son. Her son was about Miles' age. And the son is at the self-checkout line. And she's sitting there with her son, and her son wants to help her with putting the scan and the stuff. And, Mom, I want help. I'm sitting here watching this little boy. And so he scanned one item. He just barely enough can get his hand up there. Doo-doo. And I see him look at the belt, and he walks past the belt, and he takes the item and puts it in the bag. Walks back. Mama gives him another item. He throws that there. Doo-doo. I keep seeing him look at the belt, and he walks past the belt, shaking his head. And he puts it in the bag, and he goes back. He gets another item. His mom says, David, why you keep walking to the bag? He said, because Mama, he said, the belt's broken. It don't work. It ain't doing what she said. No, baby. She said, the belt's waiting on you to take what's in your hand and put it on the belt. And then the belt will do its job and move it to where it's supposed to go. I'm trying to help somebody here understand. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you keep walking and wasting your energy trying to get some things that God has said. If you just trust me with what you got, then it only operates when you let it go. This thing works by faith, not by sight. But though he didn't think it worked because all he could see is it wasn't moving. But if he had faith enough like his mama to know, if I let it go, it'll move. Good God Almighty, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I need you to know if you had the faith enough to release it, God will move it. God will increase it. Stand all over the church, look at somebody, tell them, I got it. Control. I got this.